Welcome everyone to the Score Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Boone. I'm coming to you on Saturday morning. We had rounds 2 and 3 finish up last night. We are just a few hours away from round 4 getting underway, but I wanted to jump on quick and give you some of my initial thoughts on the most important skill position guys who went on day 2. Had some very interesting landing spots. Finally, a few running backs went off the board as well, so I'm going to run through those rookies here in a moment. Not going to go over all the guys drafted on Friday night, though, because you can go check out my column that I wrote ranking them from most intriguing to least intriguing. They're all in there. You can also go back and read my round 1 takeaways and projections article over at The Score. And if you haven't listened to the round 1 recap show, make sure you go back and check that out. I'm just doing my best over here. I'm trying to make it as easy as possible for you to get my content this week. And once the draft is complete later today, I'll have updated depth charts out, and then the plan is to have Dynasty Rookie Rankings updated Sunday, Dynasty Trade Value Charts updated Monday, and then the new version of my 2024 redraft rankings out on Tuesday. So a busy week, but this is one of the most fun stretches on the NFL calendar. I absolutely love it. Okay, let's dive into the most important day 2 picks and what that means for the rookies and for some of their new teammates. And like I mentioned, the article I wrote had them ranked from most intriguing to least intriguing, so I'm going to follow that same path here, starting with Ladd McConkey. And this is an outstanding pick. I mean, I was a little bit curious when the Chargers didn't go with one of the top receivers at 5th overall. Thought it would have made a lot of sense to grab Malik Nabers there. They didn't. They went offensive line. Not really shocking, I guess, when it's a Jim Harbaugh team, but getting Ladd McConkey at the start of the second round, very, very smart move for them, and kind of makes you feel better about that first round pick. McConkey, just a really versatile weapon. He's got the route running skills. He's got the quickness. He can play anywhere on the field as long as he can stay healthy, which is a little bit of a question mark with him. But you look at what they had on that depth chart, Joshua Palmer, Quentin Johnston, who definitely looked like a bit of a bust last year. That's his main target competition. So McConkey's going to come in here. He's instantly going to become Justin Herbert's number one weapon in the passing game, and he could emerge as a fantasy wide receiver 3 in year 1. Definitely love him, and he's somebody that you're going to want to look to try to get at the end of the first round in your rookie drafts. Keon Coleman is next on my list, and we had to wait for the Bills to finally make a selection. It took until the very first pick on day 2, and they go with Coleman. They address that receiver need, and he's a big body playmaker. He's a guy who excels in contested catch situations, and it makes for some really impressive highlights, but he also comes with some concerns because you'll wonder whether that route running, whether his separation skills are actually going to be able to allow him to succeed in the NFL. So still a work in progress here. The good news for him, though, is the Bills are absolutely desperate for a number one option in the passing game, which means they're going to give him every shot to make an impact immediately. And his development is going to be something that's key to monitor over the summer. We're going to want to know what the beat writers are thinking, what we're hearing about how he looks in practices and offseason training, because I could see a situation where he has sort of a Rashee Rice type season at the beginning of the year, maybe starts off slow, but halfway through the season and by the end of the year, he's finally breaking out and actually making a pretty big impact on that offense. You know that a receiver that's attached to Josh Allen is always going to have a chance to excel in the pros. And I would consider right now Coleman a wide receiver 4 for fantasy, but a guy who has long-term upside. He could potentially become a top 30 or maybe even a top 25 receiver down the road. And he's a guy that is also going to land probably at the end of dynasty rookie drafts in the first round, maybe the early second round there. Next on my list, Jonathan Brooks, somebody who I've been a huge fan of. He was my clear running back 1 in this class, and he is the first running back off the board, and for good reason. He's 20 years old. He's going to turn 21 later this year. He is a smooth mover. He is a guy who profiles as a 3-down back, and yes, this is a weak running back class, but if he didn't tear his ACL last year, I think there was a chance we would have seen him go in the late first round. So he's not going to be a superstar. He's not going to be a Bijan Robinson type, but he projects to be a quality lead back in the NFL. The only question is when he's going to be ready, because that ACL tear happened in November. I know they've gotten a lot better with guys coming back from those injuries, and there has been reports that he'll be ready by July or August at the latest. I just always wonder, we tend to get very positive, very rose-colored glasses reports when it comes to those guys at this point in the year. And then when the summer comes around, we find out that teams are taking a little slower. So will he be ready for week one? I don't think we can say that for sure yet. And even if he is ready, is he going to be 100%? Is he going to be back to form? We don't know that yet. So once he is 100%, there's no question that he's going to have no trouble passing Chuba Hubbard and Miles Sanders. He'll move right up to that number one spot on the depth chart. And I think he is the kind of talent who could push for top 24 fantasy running back numbers in what I believe is going to be a revamped Carolina offense. They've addressed the offensive line a little bit. Dave Canales coming in there gives you some hope that they're going to get things on the right track moving forward. So Brooks is somebody that I'm definitely going to be targeting at the end of the first round in Dynasty rookie drafts. Maybe you'll even get lucky and get him at the beginning of the second round. And he'll be someone that I'm curious to see his ADP in redraft, because I'll be looking to target him there as well. Just don't expect that he is going to come out of the gate putting up huge numbers. I think it's going to maybe take him a little while before he gets comfortable and before he regains that form coming off of the injury. A.D. Mitchell is next on my list. He went to the Colts 52nd overall, and at one point, he was viewed as a first-round talent. That's how I saw him. I thought that he was going to end up going in the late first round or at worst in the early second. To be honest, he was the guy that I was kind of hoping the Bills were going to take at 33. But regardless, let's hope it works out with Coleman. I'm not going to make this a Bills show. For Mitchell, falling into the middle of the second round could turn out to be a good thing for him. He's joining a really exciting offense in Indy. They have an up-and-coming roster. They have this really intriguing three receiver set now with Michael Pittman Jr. as the number one, Josh Downs as the slot guy, and now Mitchell occupying the other side. And the rookie was a big play threat in college. He has the size. He's got the athleticism. He can emerge as what I think is going to be an overqualified number two receiver in Indy. I think he has the talent to be a number one in the NFL if everything goes right for him. There were some questions about character concerns and work ethic and all of that. I know Colts GM Chris Ballard really went to bat for him last night, talking about how all of that stuff was overblown. But what do you expect from the guy that just selected him in the draft? Of course, I still believe that Mitchell has the talent to get there, though, and to really be an impact player in the pros. And with what we saw from Anthony Richardson at the start of last season, if that's any indication, the Colts are going to field one of the NFL's most exciting offenses in 2024. And a lot of these skill position guys on that offense are in their first couple seasons in the league. The only question is going to be the pass volume. Is that going to be an issue when you have all of these different receivers that could make their mark, when you also have Jonathan Taylor in the backfield? So I'm going to treat Mitchell as an intriguing wide receiver five, a guy who has the upside to vastly outproduce that ranking, but I'm not sure we're going to see him hit the ground to become a regular fantasy starter in year one. In terms of dynasty rookie draft value, he's falling a little bit because, like I said, before the draft, I thought he's potentially going to be a first round pick. Now he's going to be a second round pick in real life and a second round pick in dynasty rookie drafts, but somebody that I'm targeting there. Trey Benson to the Cardinals, 66th overall. He's next on my list, and he was the second running back selected, and he's going to a backfield where they already have an established starter in James Conner. Normally, that would be a problem, but Conner's 29 years old. He's also dealt with a ton of injuries. People talk about that all the time, his durability concerns. So this pick is probably a sign that the Cardinals are planning for the future, though Conner, I always have to point this out, is such an underrated fantasy performer. I mean, whenever he is healthy, he's basically delivering top 15 running back stats out there. Still, Benson's fresh legs, they could overtake him as the year goes on. We've seen this happen countless times where you have a veteran in there near the end of their career. You have the rookie come in, the veteran seems established, but by midseason or after the bye week, that rookie takes over eventually and never gives the job back. There's also the possibility that if Conner does miss a couple games like he normally does, then all of a sudden Benson can get his opportunity. And if he looks great in this offense, and the Cardinals are another team with Kyler Murray, and now they have Marvin Harrison Jr. and Trey McBride and Michael Wilson, that's a really good offensive core to build around. So Benson is somebody that I'm going to be excited to get in the second round of dynasty rookie drafts, and a guy that I think you're going to want to target as a late round pick. We'll see where his ADP ends up, but a very interesting late round pick in redraft as well. Jalen Polk to the Patriots, 37th overall. And the Patriots have a terrible history of drafting receivers. We're going to give them a clean slate, though. This is the post-Bill Belichick era, right? So we can't blame them for all those bad picks in the past. But Polk is a really versatile wideout. He's got good hands. He's going to get this massive opportunity in New England as well, because they need somebody to come in there and be their number one receiver. When you look at that depth chart, whether it's Kendrick Bourne or Demario Douglas or who they signed, KJ Osborne, Juju Smith-Schuster, not the guy that he used to be. So they're really struggling to find someone that who can be that playmaker for them in the passing game and be a consistent option for them downfield. Maybe Polk can be that guy. I mean, I think he's going to lack the speed to have sort of an elite ceiling in the pros. And I think because of that, you're going to want to keep your expectations in check for his fantasy outlook. So right now, because of the opportunity he's going to get, he's going to be sort of a wide receiver five, wide receiver six in my next rankings update. So think about, you know, down in the 50s and the 60s for the receivers. And I'm going to take a cautious approach to him just because I think he has more of an average profile coming in here. And because this Patriots offense, they still have a lot to prove themselves. And it begins with the rookie quarterback they took on Thursday night in Drake May, right? He's a guy who might be a bit of a project. He might need to come along a bit before we can trust him. And that could sort of hurt somebody like Polk from emerging right away, like some of these other guys I'm talking about, like Ladd McConkey, or even potentially like a Keon Coleman, who I think has a much better opportunity playing with Josh Allen. Ben Sinnott, the tight end, he goes to the Commanders, 53rd overall. And I don't think you could complain with this draft capital. So the real question becomes, how fast can he move ahead of Zach Ertz? And Ertz, he's going to turn 34 in November. He's got an history with Cliff Kingsbury, right? It's unclear how much he has left in the tank. He had injuries in recent seasons. We haven't really seen Ertz do much over the last couple of years. So if he can hold Sinnott off in training camp, we might see a similar situation to the Ertz-Trey McBride dynamic that happened in Arizona a couple of years ago, where it took a couple seasons before that youth movement finally arrived and before McBride became what we now see, which is a very strong starter in the NFL. Could be something similar here. So we'll see if he can actually overtake Ertz during training camp and if he can win that camp battle and if he's already exciting beat writers and other players on the team and if we're getting that positive drumbeat about him. But I would just be prepared for maybe a delayed launch to his fantasy production. Might be later in the season, or it might even be in year two before we see him take over that starting role in Washington. Now, one that I'm very excited about here, Jermaine Burton going to the Bengals in the third round, and they found their T. Higgins replacement. And Higgins, I still think he's going to stick around this season. They're going to want to try to contend one more year with that group, and his long-term future, that's probably not going to be in Cincy. I think that's seriously in doubt now that the contract talks have fizzled and they don't seem to be having any sort of discussions about keeping him around long term. So they go out, they get a guy in Burton who has game-breaking downfield speed. He can get his feet wet this year in three receiver sets, and then he can take over as Jamar Chase's running mate in 2025. And in the meantime, unless Higgins gets traded before week one, Burton's probably going to need an injury to either Chase or Higgins for him to actually have a clear path to significant targets this year. So for now, I'm looking at him as a late round redraft stash, but a guy who offers really serious dynasty potential because he's attached to Joe Burrow and because we expect that big time opportunity to open up for him in 2025. Roman Wilson going to the Steelers. Hey, the Steelers took a wide receiver on day two of the draft. Not shocking at all here. We also knew that they needed more on their depth chart. After they traded Deontay Johnson, it was almost guaranteed that they were going to select a wideout and try to help restock the shelves behind George Pickens. And Wilson, not somebody that I was overly excited about, but he gives them a capable slot receiver. I think he's going to have to battle with Pat Freiermuth to see who's going to be the real number two pass catcher in this offense. Freiermuth, obviously a tight end, but somebody who, even going back to his rookie season, Freiermuth has shown that he can produce in the NFL, and I think he's going to get an opportunity to do that this year now that Deontay Johnson's out of the picture. So Wilson likely going to be a better real life option than a consistent fantasy producer. So I don't think Pickens managers need to worry at all, but a smart pickup for the Steelers here and a guy that can help round out that depth chart. Malachi Corley to the Jets is next on my list, and Joe Douglas is going to make Aaron Rodgers very happy with this pick. Corley is a compact, physical receiver, really dangerous weapon with the ball in his hands. His run after catch ability is one of the tops out of this receiving class, and it's a skill set that I think is going to fit really well alongside an alpha receiver in Garrett Wilson and a big body downfield target like Mike Williams, who they have there now. The problem is going to be how many targets and touches can he actually earn in this offense with all these other weapons around him? We'll throw the running back, Breece Hall, into the mix there as well. We know he gets involved in the passing game quite a bit. So I think the chances of Corley ending up in your fantasy lineup in year one, probably pretty slim. I think he's more of a late round stash or even more of a best ball selection this year, not somebody that you're going to want to rely on in your lineup. And I'm going to round it off today by talking about two running backs. So a two for one at the very end here. Marshawn Lloyd going to the Packers, and they're continuing this approach of drafting future replacements for their current starters, even though they know these guys are not going to actually have a big role in year one, barring some sort of injury, of course. So Lloyd's going to be the understudy to their new running back, Josh Jacobs, who they got in free agency. And it's probably going to be a year or two before hopefully he can take over that lead job in Green Bay. But the interesting thing here is he has sort of a similar skill set to Jacobs. He's an explosive yet kind of elusive ball carrier. I think the one thing he's really going to have to work on is improving that ball security, though. That was a problem for him in college. Hopefully that's not going to haunt him in the pros. So for now, he's an injury away late round target in redraft formats, and dynasty managers are going to be able to get him in the second round probably, and they're going to stash him in hopes that he can eventually take over that lead back role in a couple years in an offense that we are very excited about, which is just littered with young talent, right? Starting with Jordan Love, all the receivers, couple of good tight ends. That offense is going to be good for a while. You're going to want to have that running back, whether it is Jacobs or eventually Lloyd. And then the other running back I want to mention here, Blake Corum to the Rams. He ends up as a backup here as well. You hope that these running backs are going to find opportunity. Unfortunately, a team like Dallas, who we speculated they needed that starting running back, they didn't select one on day two. Maybe they'll grab one on day three. So Corum goes to the Rams. There were so many reports out there that were connecting him with Jim Harbaugh, his former college coach, and potentially could he end up going to the Chargers. Turns out the other team in LA wanted him more. Sadly for Corum, though, that makes him an injury away backup to Kyren Williams, and now he's going to have to carve out a short yardage or goal line role to produce for fantasy as a rookie. So you're going to be able to get him in the late rounds as just a stash and redraft, and he's probably going to fall to, I would say, the late second round or early third round of dynasty rookie drafts. And I'm not overly pumped to get him there. It's not the most exciting pick in the world. But that is all for today's show. So make sure you check out my articles over at The Score. If you didn't listen to that round one recap show, that's available too. And I'll be busy updating the rankings and the trade value charts and the depth charts. But I will be back later this week with another episode. So until then, big thanks for following me on Twitter at Justin Boone. Big thanks to everybody out there for listening. And we will see you next time.
Said leave on time, my baby. Said leave on time. Leave on time with me tonight. Said leave on time.